Really, what we've come together to do this morning is to worship Him, Christ the Lord, to sing out with joy for the brave little boy who was God, but made himself nothing. That's a strong theological, biblical concept that we call the incarnation, that God would make himself nothing. Doesn't mean that it didn't count. It means that he became a man, that the God of the universe made himself into a lowly creature in comparison to himself. God became a man. God in the flesh. That's what the word incarnation means. And that's what that phrase, became nothing, is talking about. That God became one of us. And it doesn't mean that he put on flesh like you put on a coat or a dress to come to church this morning. Because you can put that on, take it off. No, he didn't put on flesh. He became flesh. He was born as a little baby. The God of the universe put himself inside of an infant boy. The God who made himself nothing. That's the incarnation. Scripture talks of that in Philippians chapter 2. If you want to open your Bibles there. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, you can take one from the seat pocket in front of you. It's page 980. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is actually writing to the New Testament church in Philippi, talking to them about how they can live in humility in their relationships with one another. And he uses Christ as an example. He uses the incarnation, God making himself nothing, as an example of humility. Look in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he's going to go on to explain how Christ Jesus is a model of humility. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, which means what? Being born in the likeness of men. He was equal with God. He was God. He was born as a man. That is the miracle of Christmas. That the God of the universe would put himself inside of a little baby boy. I mean, think about it. God. Think of the concept of God. A being who has existed for all eternity, completely sufficient in and of himself. He has no needs, no emotional needs, no physical needs. He is completely sufficient in and of himself. No longings. God is complete. He's never done anything wrong. Every single thought he's ever had has been perfect. Totally and completely good. He's never looked back and said, I wish I would have known this then. I would have done something differently. He's never grown in his understanding. Absolutely and totally perfect and good in every way. Beyond our comprehension, this God, this amazing creature who is everything great and everything good, chooses to become something weak and inadequate and limited. The God of all creation becomes a man, a human being. That is the miracle of Christmas. That God would choose to become one of us. If you can believe that the God of the universe would become a man, then the rest of the story is believable. If you can embrace the reality of the incarnation, that baby in the manger is the God of all eternity, then the rest of the story makes sense. If you can embrace the miracle of Christmas, God in flesh, then you can go on to the meaning of Christmas, which is how the passage continues. Verse 8, and being found in human form, we're talking about God, who was named Jesus, being found in human form, he humbled himself. So he humbled himself the first time when he became a man. Now, as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, that's the meaning of Christmas. The baby in the manger is the miracle that God would become a man. The meaning of that baby in the manger is that he would grow up to give his perfect life as the sacrifice for our sins. All people are sinners. All people have the problem of trying to deal with, overcome, take care of their sinfulness so they can be accepted by this perfect God. And God looked down and said, I know there's no end to that problem. These people who are contaminated by sin cannot fix that. So I'm going to go to them and take care of the problem. So in a miraculous way, he became a human being. And then as a human being, he lived the only perfect, sinless life so that as a man, he could give that life to pay for sins. Had he not been God, had he just been a man, a human like me or you, and somehow managed to live a perfect life and grow up to say, I want to give my life as a perfect man in exchange for sins, then that life, that perfect life would have been good to exchange for one sinful life. One right man for one messed up man. And the exchange is made and one person gets to go free. But he wasn't just a man. He was God in flesh. God who is infinite in every way. Infinite in his life. So when he gave his life as a sacrifice for sins, it was an infinite sacrifice. It wasn't just enough to cover one bad person's sins. It was enough to cover the sins of all who would believe. The sacrifice that will never stop giving because it's infinite, like the God who was in flesh laying down his life for sinful people. That is the meaning of Christmas. That's why God became a man. So that he could give his life for the sins of all who would believe in him and through that faith in his sacrifice, receive forgiveness forever, hope and life forever. And that's what we're eager to celebrate with you this Christmas time. That's why we had this program today, to celebrate the miracle of Christmas, the incarnation, and to celebrate the meaning of Christmas, salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The passage goes on to say that because he gave his life in exchange for sins, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm Ross Robinson. I'm one of the pastors here at North Hills, and nothing would make us happier than to know that everyone who's here today joins with us in embracing the miracle and the meaning of Christmas by confessing with our mouths as a reflection of our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. Coming to Jesus Christ in faith, laying our sinfulness before him and receiving his sacrifice as the payment for our sins. If that true meaning of Christmas has not yet been your experience, then you can have, for the first time in your life, a truly Merry Christmas. As you look to God, who became flesh, lived a perfect life, and gave that life as the payment for your sins. Jesus is highly exalted because of what he did in paying for sins. You can come to him and declare that in a personal way. Jesus, as Lord and Savior, not just in general terms, but in your life, in your experience, Jesus, your sacrifice for my sins, I embrace. The God of the universe has made a way for you to come into a right relationship with him. That's the meaning of Christmas. May it be yours this Christmas, is our prayer. Lord God, that is the cry of our hearts. That the miracle of the incarnation would be real in our minds and in our hearts, and that we would reach out in faith and embrace the true meaning of Christmas, salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord. We want Jesus to be lifted up in this place this morning. His story has been exalted in song, in music, in our hearts. Oh Lord God, please exalt him in every heart in this place. For anyone who may be sitting here this morning, gripped by fear that it can't be true for him, that it won't work for her, Lord, we collectively pray for those people who are fearful that your salvation will not be enough to forgive them or transform them or fill them with your hope. Capture them by your love at this moment. Give them grace to look to you in faith and believe on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, whose spotless blood has paid for their sins. We pray this prayer in faith, believing you for the gift of salvation this Christmas. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.